of Calvary. The Lord was crucified. The mob stood around about him until he died. Two beasts were nailed beside him to share the agony. But one of them cried out to him, "Oh Lord, remember me." Oh, when on the cross of Calvary the Lord was crucified, the mob stood all around him and mocked him till he died. Two beasts were nailed beside him to share the agony. But one of them cried out to him, "Oh Lord, remember me." When the Lord remember me, when I am called to go, when I cross that chilling sea, will he, his love will show. Oh yes, he heard my feeble cry, from bondage set me free. And when I reach that pearly gate, he will remember. Oh yes. When the Lord remember me, when I am called to go. Oh yes. When I have crossed that chilly sea, will he, his love, that, oh, show, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. He heard my feeble cry, oh, from bondage, he set me free. And when I reach that, oh, that pearly gate, will remember. Oh yes. Oh, will he remember me? Oh, when I am called to go, when I have reached that chilly sea, will he, his love, let show? Oh yes. He heard my feeble cry. Oh, the bondage set me, oh, set me free. And when I, oh, reach it, pearly gates, oh Lord, oh Lord, remember me. Oh, oh, when I reach the pearly gates, he will remember me. And when I reach those pearly gates, he will remember me.
Come on, let us put our hands together. Come on. commonplace. All kinds of diseases, people are slipping away. The economy is down, people can't get enough pay. But as for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Folks without home, people out in the streets, and the drug habits, some say they just can't be. Muggers and robbers, no place seem to be safe. Lord, you've been my protection every step of the way, and I wanna say
thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me.
Hey, 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 it could have been me.
Thank you.
Outdoors,
thank
you. With no food,
thank you.
And no clothes,
thank you.
Or just alone,
thank you.
Without a friend,
thank you.
Or just another number,
thank you.
With a tragic end, but it didn't seem fit to let none of these days be. Every day by God's power, keeps on, keeps on keeping me. And I want to say power, thank you for protection, Lord, every hour. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for your love. Yeah, thank you for your power. Thank you for protection. protection, Jesus, every hour. Woo.
Talking to Rose Trebue earlier this week, talking about her husband, and she told me that one of the advice that her husband would give young preachers is if you write a sermon and it don't set you on fire, go ahead and burn the sermon and start over again, because if it don't set you on fire, it won't set nobody else on fire. But one thing is for sure, this choir is on fire. Yeah, yeah. If it don't set nobody else on fire, you make sure it sets you on fire. Amen. Amen. If nobody else get anything out of serving the Lord, you make sure you do as you serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's been many a days I wondered if God blessed anybody by my preaching, but then I would walk out and say, well, maybe it was just for me to begin with. Then it did what it was supposed to do. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We thank the Lord for this choir and leading us in these songs of expression. We thank you for showing up and being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't enter into the place. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. God is in control. No matter how crazy it may get. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you today out of the book of Matthew chapter 10. I want to look at the verses 16 through 23. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. And it reads in this way. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Verse 16, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd, wise as serpents, and as innocent, or peaceful as doves. I want to preach from the topic, the risk to evangelize sheep among wolves. The risk to evangelize sheep among wolves. A man whose specialty was the Mosaic Law wanted to see if he could challenge Jesus with the question, and he asked, "What's the greatest commandment in the Bible?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two, you can hang all the laws and the prophets. Love God completely. Love neighbor as yourself." This has become known as the greatest commandment. The command to love like God loves means you have to trust and depend on God, because sometimes we don't even love ourselves. And I don't necessarily mean that in a traditional way we think of love, but more in a practical way. Taking care of yourself is a form of loving yourself. Going to the doctor, getting plenty of rest and exercise, avoiding harmful and hateful relationships when possible. All of that is a form of loving yourself. And I think God made love a commandment because he knew that unless we learn how to love God and ourselves, then we would never really have the sustainability to see others as God does, and then to love them. And loving the way God loves, it can be risky at times, because when we love like God, it will require us to sacrifice. And even God knows something about sacrifice. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God knows something about sacrifice too. Yeah, that's why to love like God is to love in a risky kind of way. Because when you love like that, you will have a heart for people that other folks think you should steer away from. Amen. That's one of the things that people criticize Jesus for, and that was socializing with sinners and tax collectors. Some tried to say that he was really evangelizing them, but the scripture says that the criticism was that he ate and he drank with them. That's a barbecue. That's a cookout. That's a fellowship, not a church meeting, not a Bible study. He wasn't going door to door knocking. And the only way he could get that close to those people, knowing what other people would say about it, was that he had to love them. He loved them more than he loved his reputation. He loved them more than he loved his own life, for he died even for them. He loved them because he knew the transformational work of love as God loves. Love, it has the capacity that compels you to put others even before yourself, because you want for them the same thing you want for yourself. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You may not really know how to love yourself, though. Many of us have been taught just the opposite by poor models, bad experiences, destructive criticism and abuse. But even if you know, if you don't know how to love yourself, you do know what you want for yourself, even if you don't think that you can have it. Now, this isn't really for everybody, but I'm talking to the broken, to the disenfranchised, those that are on the edge of losing hope. If you know what you want for yourself, even if you don't think that you can ever have it, you do have the capacity to want the same thing for somebody else. If they can get it, maybe you could get it too. That may be what gets you over, is helping somebody else get what you think you'll never be able to receive, because
You had the capacity to love others more than others have been able to love you. That can only happen through the power of God. Love like God loves is transformational. It's hopeful. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong. That's only through God, because you, me, we cannot love that way in and of ourselves. Does not delight in evil. Rejoices with truth. It will always protect, always trust, always hopes, always persevere. Love, love, love never fails. And that kind of love as a lifestyle, love as a commandment, love as the greatest commandment, is the only way that we can even fulfill the Great Commission. You know the Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, to go therefore into all the nations, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus had commanded. And the promise is he will be with us to the very end of the ages. Now, some have perverted this commandment from Christ, and they make it more about their programming, more about their numbers. They evaluate if they're doing it right or not solely by the number of conversions that they can count. But if the Great Commission is done through the ethic of the Great Commandment to love, then it would truly be transformational and relational, not just for the individual, but for the church, for the family, for the community, for the city, for the nations, and for the world. Salvation is not just for me and for you, but it's for the world. And the evidence is not just a transformed life, but a transformed world. And that's what's at stake. A world here on earth that reflects a glimpse of heaven. And don't give me the rap about we can't make it perfect down here on earth. It's not about trying to make it perfect, but it is about being faithful. And then if this be God's will, then we should even be transforming to a more perfect union in God, because faithfulness produces fruit. And that takes us to our text today, because Jesus is informing his disciples today. Today it would be those that bear the name of Christ. He tells them what's at risk to spreading the gospel message and what to watch out for. There's a risk, brothers and sisters, to telling the truth and living out God's reality. There's something at stake when God touches you and begins to transform you. Because when you get straightened out, sometimes it was you that was the problem, but other people benefit from your tragic situation and bad behavior. And when you get straightened out, your good health and well-being doesn't always work well with other people's agenda. Misery loves company. And they will continually try to keep you in a neglected state because they're benefiting from your own demise. And at any rate, everyone may not be happy when God begins to do a new work in you and when God begins to do a new work through you. And Jesus never really evangelized like we do today. We like to sell all the highlights of what it means to be Christian. How Jesus will fix it. and he can. How whatever we ask in his name, he'll grant, and he will according to his own will. How we're more than conquerors, and we are. But Jesus was very, very upfront about what it would mean to be his disciple. Jesus was walking when someone ran up to him and proclaimed, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me, does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person can't even be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me can't be his disciple." Jesus never sugarcoated what it was at risk to be one of his disciples. He not only talked about the blessings, but he also talked about the responsibility. Don't just jump in if all you want is the blessing, because God won't be mocked. If you claim Christ, then there's some expectation that comes with that name. The first thing you have to come to grips with is your new identity in Christ. Jesus says, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." Sheep are not predators, but wolves are. Sheep are defenseless and need someone else to protect them. But look, wolves, they hunt in a pack and know how to isolate their prey to separate them from their help. Am I talking to anybody in here today? You've been isolating. You've been low in energy. Yeah. Has your problem and disappointments got you down? Yeah. Do you deal with depression, the blues, sadness, melancholy? Well, there may be some physical or mental solution to what ails you, but regardless, it's still a scheme of the devil. But God is still enough through it all. God's grace is still sufficient in the face of these attacks. God can still keep you in the midst of it all. Do you see, I never said that God would take it all away. That's not the promise, but the promise is God would never leave you or forsake you, and God doesn't have to take all of your problems away in order to be God and handle our problems. We are sheep, and our assurances, it isn't in ourselves, but it's in the God that shepherds and watches over us. That may be scary and comforting all at the same time. Scary because you have to learn how to turn your trials over to God and take your hands off of some things, and comforting because you don't have to do it all by yourself anymore. All you have to do is trust and obey. All you have to do is live a lifestyle of love. All you have to do is endure to the end. But Jesus said he'll always be with us even to the end of the ages. He lets us know that we have been commissioned and ordained to go into enemy territory. It appears that we're defenseless like sheep in the midst of wolves. But you have to know that it's much more complicated than that, because sometimes it's difficult to tell the sheep from the wolves. In our text, Jesus sets up a polar opposite dichotomy of sheep and wolves. It seems that it should be obvious who is what. But this isn't the first time that Jesus spoke of wolves. Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Yeah, the truth of the matter is, even some of those who you do ministry with, they may even be out to get you. And yet we're called to go anyway. This love lifestyle is not free from form, but as you know, neither is life. And if your goal is to be trouble-free, then you will be utterly disappointed. But Jesus promises us that even though trouble is a constant, in this life, he still won't leave us, but rather he'll equip us as sheep to deal with the trouble instead of allowing our trouble to deal with us. The truth of the matter is, if you never had trouble, you would never have a testimony. Do you have a testimony about how God has handled your trouble? Well, somebody else is having trouble too, and they need to know that God is still a way maker. They need to know that God will cover you even when you mess up. They need to know that God loves them in their sin and has the power to love them out of their sin. And you can't show that kind of love being a sheep who fight like wolves. You have to learn something new. You can't reflect love and seek revenge. You have to learn something new. You can't put down your religion and reflect God's love. You can't smash everything because of your own pain and disappointment and reflect God's love. You have to learn something new. You have to learn how to fight a different way. You have to learn how to confront the wolves in your own life. You may call them husband or wife, but they're still wolves. You may call them best friend, but really they're wolves in your life. You may call them deacon or trustee. You may even call them pastor, but really they're wolves in your life. You may call them mother, father, son, daughter, but really they're wolves in your life. But God would give you the strength and the wisdom to endure to the end. God doesn't leave us completely defenseless. He protects us as our shepherd, but he also equips us for the journey. He says, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Ephesians 5:15 says, walk circumspectfully, not as fools, but as wise. That simply means be careful where you step. Watch where you step. Walk circumspectfully. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Pay attention who is around you. Pay attention what you're feeling on the inside. Walk with your eyes wide open and believe what you see. You've been given some wisdom based on your own experiences. You ain't got to forgive and forget. You better forgive and remember and walk circumspectfully so that you can see your enemy slipping up behind you. Gives us some common sense. He gives us some intuitiveness. He gives us the Holy Spirit that gives us an unction. Sometimes you can't put your hands on it. Sometimes you don't know why you feel the way you feel. Sometimes it just don't make sense on the inside. Logic adds up, but there's something holding you back. You better listen to the something. Doesn't leave you completely defenseless, but he's right there with you, ordering your steps, making your crooked ways straight. It's not a knowledge walk, but it is a faith walk, and you better learn how to put your faith in the Lord and listen what your eyes can't see and your ears can't hear, but God is speaking anyway. Doesn't leave us completely defenseless, but he protects us as a shepherd and equips us, tells us to be harmless, innocent as doves. They may lie on you, but as best you can, make sure it's a lie. They may throw the first punch, but make sure as best you can, you didn't give them a reason to. They may not like you, but make sure it's not because you've done them wrong. As best you can. But I believe it's a little bit deeper as to why we are to be harmless as doves. Have you ever been in a fight?
that you knew you couldn't win? Have you ever got caught up in a situation and you knew you was outnumbered? Have your mouth got you, wrote you a check that you can't actually cash? When you begin to read a little bit further, when you understand the mandates of Christ, Christ tells you you need to count the cost. And some battles ain't really worth fighting because you can't win them anyway. And yet you'll still find yourself in some battles. Points out that even the religious folk who say they believe in God will have you flogged in the synagogue. Even brothers and sisters would turn against one another. Mothers and fathers turning in children to be executed, and children turning in mothers and fathers to be executed. Even be in the government where you will be tried for the sake of Christ to be a witness to the Gentiles. Some of our fights, the only thing that we have is God on our side and the peace that we try to deliver unto others. Bible says if you see that happening, you better run to a place of safety. Run is not retreat. Running is survival. You better run to a place of safety, but it's those that will endure to the end that shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, enduring to the end has nothing to do with saving your life. For those that try to save their life will lose it, and those that lose their life for the sake of Christ, they shall save it. It's not about saving your physical life. Enduring to the end simply means no matter come what may, you won't lose your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the fight is all about, to break you and to break your faith in God. And if they break your faith in God, there is no hope for tomorrow. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Trouble will come in your life, but if you can wait, you can win those that endure to the end. They shall be saved. It may cost you something sometimes. You can't believe that just because you're in Christ, everything is going to be hunky-dory. It may cost you something sometimes. But God will never leave you or forsake you. He doesn't have to make the storm dissipate. He'll meet you in the middle, in the eye of the tornado, and hold you in perfect peace. You might not have known it, but that's what you signed up for. You may not be aware of it. Nobody might have told it to you like that. But that's what you signed up for. But you already in a fight. You might as well be on the winning side. You already in the middle of a battle, and you probably taking some lumps already. You might as well team up with King Jesus, because he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. The victory's already ours. But baby, you still got to fight the fight. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this Jesus Christ that really makes all the difference in the world. Some 2,000 plus years ago, God made a way out of no way that we may be reconciled back unto God. God can order our steps. God can give us hope in the midst of it all. God can open up doors that no man can shut, your doors that no man can open. You'll find if you trust this God, he's a friend to the end, not a fair-weather friend that'll leave you
when you need them the most. Not the kind of friend when you messed up and they go around and spread all your business. The Lord has a way of covering you up if you humble yourself unto the Lord. Will you choose him today? He's already chosen you. Let us stand as we're led in this musical selection. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. How will you respond? Amen. Is there another? Is there another?
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Is there another?
Above him there's no
other.
The Lord is
calling. He's
calling. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the
way. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you today.
I know you got some questions in the corners of your mind. Traces of confusion, a peace you cannot find. Just in case you don't know, the word of God is true.
Yeah.
Whatever he promised, you give it to you.
Yeah.
Jesus is the answer. Today, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no is the way. I know you got some mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your days are dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know that the word of God is true, whatever he promised, he'll give it to you.